Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Or maybe I should say lads and lassies. Or even give you titles that have almost fallen out of use. Cubs and puppies. Maybe you've never heard that term. Well, that was very common when I was young. And I know you're thinking, oh yes, but that was hundreds of years ago. Not quite. Well, it's good to see those who have survived this awful plague that has hit the school, a tummy bug. We even have the walking wounded here today. So, I trust the Lord will bless us. It's good to see you. We're turning to Acts chapter 5, continuing our study of this wonderful chapter. That's the wonder of the Bible, boys and girls. If you only had one chapter in the Bible, you would have a Bible. That's what it boils down to. It comes to my mind that I remember reading, a very long time ago, so long I can only vaguely recall the details, but there was an isolated little Christian community. I think it may have been in China years and years and years ago, where Bibles were forbidden. But this little group had one page. And they studied that page and found more glorious truths on that one page. But then that's the splendor of the Bible, boys and girls. Oh, that you might admire it, love it, study it, obey it. Acts chapter 5 then. In the portion verses 12 to the end of the chapter, verse 42, I've divided things up into four. First of all, and we looked at this last week, the miracles that the Lord was pleased to work in Jerusalem, particularly in that area within the temple compound, spoken of as Solomon's Temple. Just an area within the periphery of the temple, where the Lord Jesus on many occasions used to speak to the people and wrought many miracles and most certainly taught them the great truths of the gospel. And here now are the disciples in the same place. And it would appear from the account given us, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, multitudes is the term that you use, of people were miraculously healed and blessed. Then this morning we're moving on to what I want to entitle the madness that is evident here, and it's the madness of the religious leaders. Why would men be angry when they see people being healed from their ills and sickness? Why would that make anybody angry? Do you see outside the hospital a group of people carrying placards protesting that doctors and nurses are inside helping sick people? Wouldn't that really make the headlines in the press if that were to take place? Well, why then were these men angry? Because they were mad. Mad at the apostles for what they were doing. And their madness is displayed in the verse 28. Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name, and behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us? Shows anger. And as you read the rest of the chapter, you will see that they were angry enough to kill them. And when they were persuaded not to do that, they couldn't restrain themselves altogether, so they beat them. Now, maybe some of you have got a wee scalping from mommy or daddy at times, but let me tell you, when it speaks of beating in this chapter, it's not a wee scalping. They would have thrashed them with a rod, likely until they bled, and their backs would have been cut open. That shows the madness of the leaders and the hatred they bore toward the gospel. Well, let's note that the witness of the apostles and the miracles that they wrought made the Jewish leaders mad. Made them mad. We read verses 17 and 18. Then the high priest rose up and all that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, fury, anger, and laid hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. That was their reaction. Anger. Now that might surprise you why anybody should be angry with the preaching of the word of God and the working by God of miracles among the people. Why should that make people angry? Well, you may well ask that question, but it has made people angry since the dawn of time. I'll mention Cain and Abel. But you know the story of Cain and Abel. Murder. One brother killed another. In fury. Why? Simply because one brother practiced true religion, was blessed of God for doing so, and when asked to explain, told his brother Cain very simply the right way to worship God, and as a result, Cain was filled with fury and killed his brother. He killed his brother. And that spirit of animosity and hatred toward the truth of God is displayed ever since, and it's displayed today. It's displayed today. And you, if you love the Lord, will encounter it. You'll not be able to escape it. If somebody asks you why you believe what you do, and you begin to explain, invariably, those to whom you're speaking will put a frown on their face, and they'll come back at you. And they'll first of all likely deny, I'm not a sinner, I'm not bad. And then they'll tackle you and say, who do you think you are? You think you're better than me. And this is all evidence of the anger that in this case here in our chamber reached even greater heights and resulted in the abuse of the apostles. Now, why were they mad? Well, first of all, they were mad because they had been defied. These leaders had given a command to the apostles that they were to stop preaching the gospel. And that command was quite the opposite to the command of the Lord. For he had said in his final words to the apostles, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, beginning at Jerusalem. So what the Savior commanded his people was the very opposite to what these religious leaders, who were Christ rejectors, were commanding. And you will run into the same. You will find that as you try to obey the Lord, the world will say, no, that's wrong, you shouldn't do that, stop doing that, or we'll take action against you. You even find that churches will take up this attitude. And within the churches, down through the centuries, men who have been faithful to God have suddenly found themselves challenged by the leaders of the church. And they're ordered by those leaders. Stop preaching that. We don't want you to preach that. That's what happens when the devil gets into a church. And there rises up men in leadership who are under his influence and have in their hearts the same spirit as him. And they don't like to hear the gospel. That happens, churches, constantly. I fear that even in our own Free Presbyterian Church, we're beginning to see the beginnings of such a spirit. There are those who don't like the preaching of all what the Bible teaches. Well, that's why they were mad. You see, they placed themselves above God. I told you what the Lord had told the disciples. Well, they thought they could outrank the Lord Jesus and set aside his commands and tell the disciples the opposite. That's what happens, men. We have an old saying here in Ulster. They get too big for their boots. They suddenly find themselves to have grown to such a degree of importance that their boots don't fit them anymore. That's only in their head. It's only a notion they have formed of themselves. And no one can grow more important than God and command his people to set aside his law. Men try it constantly. But like the apostles, we must be ready to oppose them. and tell them we ought to obey God rather than man. That's what the response of Peter and the apostles were. They were saying, why are you still preaching the gospel after us telling you to stop? And Peter replied, well, we've been commanded to preach the gospel by the Lord, and the Lord's more important than you. Now that wouldn't have been well received. Those men would not like to have been told that they were less important than God, because they thought they were more important than God and could contradict his commandments. And boys and girls, I want to tell you, that spirit is abroad today. It's abroad today. So they were mad because they had been defied, they hadn't been obeyed. Then again, they were mad because the gospel that they hated was still being preached. That which they wanted to silence was being still proclaimed in Jerusalem. As I've already said, verse 28 records how they said, did not we straitly? That word straitly means very strongly command you that ye not teach in this name. That's what they really hated, the name of the Lord Jesus. Before you've even started work, I'm sure you have already encountered the very common misuse of the name of the Lord Jesus. You have heard those who are not saved, in a fit of anger or annoyance or vexation, taking the name of the Lord. But you have never heard anybody say, oh Allah, oh Buddha, in annoyance. You never will hear that. But you will hear the name of the Lord Jesus used in that fashion. Because by doing that, the world unconsciously are acknowledging that there's only one God, and that's the Lord Jesus. And he's the only one they want to curse. And it was the name of the Lord Jesus that was being proclaimed by the apostles that made these men angry. They wanted it stopped. That's what the devil wants. That tells us, you know, that these religious leaders were just the servants of the devil. They were carrying out the devil's work. Now, it may surprise you to know that Christians can do that, carry out the devil's work. They who are called the disciples of the Lord Jesus, they who are called upon to obey the Lord, can act as servants of the devil. I'm thinking, for instance, of Peter, who on one occasion, very foolishly, contradicted the Lord when he had explained to the rest of the apostles that soon he would be going up to Jerusalem and there he would be arrested and they would end up crucifying him. And Peter contradicted him. And the Lord Jesus very significantly answered Peter and said, get thee behind me, Peter. No, he didn't. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's what he called Peter, Satan. Why did he call Peter Satan? Because Peter was speaking the words of Satan. He was carrying out the desires of Satan. Now, Peter didn't realize he was doing that, which is to his shame. He ought to have known to have contradicted the Lord Jesus was only acting as the devil ever acts. Christians can very stupidly, very foolishly carry out the work of the devil. But while it's not too often we find, I suppose if it happened once that's too often, but the worldly men, the religious leaders who don't obey God, they are forever carrying out the commands of the devil and acting as he would act. And that's what they're doing here. They say, we don't want the name of Jesus mentioned. Imagine that. You don't know that even his name mentioned in Jerusalem. But you have gone on preaching it, much to our annoyance. Of course, the message that they had preached was one that proclaimed their guilt, because in the message of the apostles, they recounted how that the leaders, the high priest and the others, had led the mob into rejecting the Lord Jesus and crucifying him. They were the chief culprits, the chief criminals in this crime. And the apostles were naming them. The apostles were naming them. You know, it is unbecoming of a Christian minister to stand in the pulpit or to take up his pen and say, there are those who say wrong things and bad things, but they don't identify them. They don't say who it is they're talking about. That's not good preaching. That's not acting as a good minister of Jesus Christ. That's acting as a coward. It's a displaying of weakness. But the apostles didn't do that. When they spoke about the crime of crucifying the Lord Jesus, they said who it was guilty. They didn't leave the matter hanging in the air, but they identified them. It was as if they pointed out and said, there's the guilty man. That's how a minister should preach. That's how a minister should preach. What good is a doctor if you go to him and you say, doctor, I don't feel well. I'm very sick. And the doctor says, you know, I think you are sick. And I'm sorry. But go home and just lie in bed. You would have to say to him, what is it that's wrong with me? Would you tell me? Name it. A doctor would never act like that, I'm sure. He would tell you the name of the sickness that you have so that action can be taken to combat that particular disease. And so it ought to be the case with ministers. When they identify a sin, they should name it and name the one who's guilty of it so that the proper action can be taken to resist and hinder that sin and the one who's promoting it. That was the style of the apostles. And that's what made these old leaders mad. They were mad. Well, I'll say one other thing regarding this madness. They were mad because the Lord was working miracles and the gospel was being preached in the very area which the leaders thought was theirs, the temple, Solomon's porch in the temple. The religious leaders, the priest and his cronies, they felt, that's our area. We run that. We control that. How dare these apostles come and occupy our area and preach the gospel? They didn't like that. And the gospel preacher, you see, if he's faithful to God and denounces wrongdoing and exposes that which is contrary to the mind and will of God, he will always rub up the wrong way. Do you know what that wee phrase means? Any of you who have a cat, if you sleek your pussy cat the wrong way and go against the fur, cat will soon let you know I don't like that. And probably say that with the claws out. That's what it means to rub the wrong way. And those who preach the gospel and preach God's law will rub the wrong way those who don't believe God's law, who don't want to obey God's law. And these priests, the high priest and his cronies, they were being rubbed the wrong way when the apostles in their particular area, the area of the temple, which the priests thought that is our exclusive zone, they were rubbing the old priests the wrong way. And no matter where you go in the gospel and preach it, you're going to be rubbing somebody in the wrong way. who don't like it. How dare you come to my door and tell me I need to be saved? How dare you stand up on the pulpit and speak to me down in the pew and tell me I need to be saved? Preaching the gospel rubs people the wrong way.
Am I rubbing you the wrong way this morning? Are you a bit like the pussycat and your fur is being rubbed the wrong way and you're uncomfortable being told that if you're not saved, you're not going to heaven? You're not.
Boys and girls, please learn that if you're not saved, you're going against God. And that will eventually result in your damnation. Obey the Lord, get saved, and serve Him. Don't be mad like the priests, but rather rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven, and that you're on your way to heaven, because you have accepted Christ as your Savior. Let's bow in prayer.
Lord, apply your word to every heart with that divine tenderness, Lord, and love and grace and mercy of which only thou art capable. Bless the boys and girls, and we remember those not able to be with us today at homesick. May your healing touch be upon them all, we ask. Bless us now. Bless the school today, Lord. Cover it in the precious blood of the Lamb, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.